Good morning, good morning. How is everybody? Some of our students have still got a little bit of energy. When Pastor Scott asked me to preach today, I was like, yes, D-Now weekend, sum it all up. It's going to be awesome. Bad decision. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I believe God has given me a word this morning. I'm excited to share. We've had an awesome week with our students. Hopefully they won't fall asleep. Y'all ready? You good? All right. You guys over here? Yeah, no. Hey, if I see y'all fall asleep, I'll run over there real quick, you know, wake y'all up, if that's okay. So, but no, we've studied one, that there's one God, there's one way to God, there's one family, and then last but not least, there's one purpose that God's given us. And so, as I was praying through, I was like, God, what do you have today for us to talk about? And one of the things that just kind of poured into my heart at that moment was a person, one person that made a difference. And I hope by the end of the day today that we'll be able to look and see that we as well can be that one person in our life. And so I know we read the scripture a little earlier, but if you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, we're going to be in verse 37 through 41. Not going to read it again, but today, the title of the message is, One Can Make a Difference. You might even could say the title would be, You Can Make a Difference. And so, some of the attributes and things that we see out of this passage is first off, that Peter was faithful to share. And so, I want you to imagine, I want you to get this picture with me. They're in hanging around in the city, and all of a sudden, a commotion breaks out. If you're familiar with the passage, this is Pentecost, and God had taken the believers there, and the Holy Spirit had come down, and they began to talk in the native language of the people there, and all of a sudden in the city, all this commotion is going down. I mean, there's people picture probably out maybe cleaning clothes or gardening or doing whatever, and they're hearing all this commotion, and it breaks out. And all this speaking in the native language, and they go to see what's going on. Man, I can imagine the people dropping everything that they have to run and see like what is going on in our city, and grabbing their kids, going and all these people are gathered around, people running to see, and Peter takes an opportunity. He takes an opportunity to step up and to speak out to the crowd. A lot of people there, Peter stepping up. And it takes me back because I think if y'all remember with me, with Peter, there was a time that didn't happen. You know, there was a time that Peter didn't step up. If you remember, Him and Jesus had a conversation in Matthew 26:34, which says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. You even know me. This same guy who was about to step up and he was about to speak to these people at one point denied Christ. My first question I want to pose today, have you done that before in your life? You knew there was an opportunity coming that God wanted you to share. He wanted you to use you in a powerful way. And just like Peter, we said no. I think back to an instance. I had just graduated high school. God had gotten a hold of my life. I was excited. I was pumped up for Jesus. And getting back into church, getting ready to go to seminary, college, Bible college, and I was still at my old school. I was doing landscape stuff, golf course stuff, and a guy asked me, and He said, "Hey, are you a man of the cloth?" And I was like, I didn't understand the question at first. Yeah, I was like, okay, I haven't heard that before. I was like, what? What are you talking about? And he said, "Are you a man of the cloth?" And even in that moment, I remember hesitating because I felt like I was put on the spot. I was like, what? You know, are you about to hurt me? Yeah, because the tone was, you know, it was a little scary. And I put myself just like Peter did, and I said to myself, I reluctantly said no, and I let fear overwhelm me at that moment in time of not being able to take an opportunity to share about God and what He's done. And I see what Peter, what Peter had felt, that all this pressure on us. And so many times we let fear do that. Now, on the flip side, I got the courage eventually. I went back up to the guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm a man of the cloth, you know, and told him and said, yes, I love Jesus. But in that moment, in that fear, I understood what Peter was going through. And how many times do we let that affect us? Because remember, God wants to use us. God has a purpose for us. That's why He left us here. And if we realize that, if we are one, we're the one, we're one, we allow God to use us to share just like Peter did. As we'll see later, we're going to have great things happen. But so many times we let fear dictate that. We let self dictate that. But just like Peter, there was good news. And maybe today, you've been in the same situation I have. But there's still good news. Hey, look, I'm up here today. Peter was at Pentecost today. You could get rid of, forget it, and serve God today. Second, one of the things that Peter's words did, it affected him. It affected Peter. It affected the crowd. The Greek word here, are you ready? This is great. I'm horrible at reading other languages, so we're going to do it together. Not really. I'm going to read it. Kat ap ateo. That's not bad. Kat ap ateo. And that's what is here for the word pierced. Because the word said that Peter's word pierced them. And that means that the sting had emotionally pierced them. And the way to relate it, it was like that. You do something really bad and then you realized it was wrong. Okay? Because let me set the picture for you. All these people had lined the streets when Jesus was coming down carrying the cross. And these people, the Jewish people, they were seeing Jesus as they were coming down the cross and they were spitting on him and saying, "You're not the King of Kings. You're not the Lord of Lords." And they were standing in the streets and they were watching Jesus go to the cross and they were joining in the ridicule. And here they were. Here they were. They were doing something awful. Insults. And when Peter stood up and he said, "Hey, there's forgiveness in Christ," it pierced their heart because they realized. They realized what had happened. They realized who He was. That's the kind of pierce that is talking about right here. That they understood that, oh my goodness, the realization that they had just murdered Jesus. But yet, there was still hope. Yet there was still hope that they could come back and they could have a relation. They were relationship with Him. They were pierced to the heart. I can imagine it flooding in their minds, the pictures of what they had seen. But Peter gives them the gospel. It gives them hope. These people had crucified Christ, yet they had the opportunity to come to Christ. Just as Jesus said when He was on the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Man, even with us, that still relates to us. Because see, we have a sin nature. We all sin, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we have an opportunity to come back to God because of what Christ did. And Jesus took our sin on the cross. He held our sin on the cross. And just like that, we may not realize that our sins is what nailed Jesus to the cross. There's good news. Just like they did, we have the same opportunity to have a redeeming faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. It says, He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Favorite part of this verse. By His wounds, you were healed. By His wounds, you are healed. So, Peter, his words affected him. The Holy Spirit used him. Just like the Holy Spirit uses us when we allow Him to do that. Because the second thing is they were faithful to, Peter was faithful to listen to the Holy Spirit. Peter was faithful to listen. As you look, Peter replied to them, "Each of you must repent of your sins. You must turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you too will receive the Holy Spirit." Man, when we're saved, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the awesomest gift in the world. We have God inside of us, the Holy Spirit, God inside of us. He's there to guide us. He's there to convict us. He's the gift giver. He's the fruit producer. He gives us power to live the Christian life to the fullest. If we're saved, we have Him. And I think to myself, how many times do I use the power that God has given me through the Holy Spirit? How many times do I listen to the Holy Spirit? Because like Peter, he listened to the Holy Spirit. And knew once he denied, but he knew he had to step up in the crowd. He knew he had to share the gospel because he knew they needed Jesus. So the second question I ask today is do you listen? Do I listen? Do we listen to the Holy Spirit's leading in our life? I go back to an example with my one of my former bosses, and there was a time we were riding down the truck. He was a great guy, but he didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Nothing at all. Anytime I brought Jesus up, he usually tried to shut me down pretty quick. And I can remember riding in the truck coming back from Atlanta. We'd been doing some work, and it was like the Holy Spirit was yelling at me, "Clay, it's time, witness to Him. Tell Him about Christ." And in my mind, it kind of went back and it said, I kept telling myself, no. You know, I'm a little fearful. Yeah, I kept making up an excuse. Well, the window's cracked. He's not going to be able to hear me. Yeah, I mean, these thoughts were running in my mind. You know, that kind of thing. Until finally, it's like we're getting close. And finally, I knew the Holy Spirit was spurning me. And finally, told Him the gospel. Told Him the gospel. And it was like, what was so cool about it, it's like it was a relief because I knew the Holy Spirit was spurring me to do that. And there's been several times in my life that God has made it so clear to yell loudly and say, "Hey, this, let me help you, God. Hey, Clay, you need to stay away from this. God, here's some discernment." Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to tap into that. Man, we have to get ourselves out of the way. And that's not easy. Shoot, it's really hard. Do y'all have that same issue? Yeah. Because myself, I want me, mine, I. You know, what's good for me? As you look in our generations in America, as we come down, the generations, each generation is turning further and further away from God and more to
ourself. And we have to learn to listen and use the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Let Him work through us, just like He did Peter. Man, I'm stubborn sometimes. Anybody else stubborn? Yeah. It's my way. It's not God's way. This one gets me sometimes, man. I'm satisfied with my walk with Christ. I'm good. I got my church down Wednesday, maybe Sunday. Lucky I may come Tuesday, you know, do something. And I become satisfied with my walk, and I get complacent sometimes. Even as a student pastor, true confession time, just opening up to you. I have to discipline myself because I can find myself getting complacent in my relationship with God. And I have to further challenge and even when I don't want to sometimes, discipline myself to grow my walk, to spend time with God. Which you guys probably already know this. I don't know everything, and I know I don't know everything. But God does. And the power of the Holy Spirit in me from Him is what He uses. And then lastly, I mentioned it earlier, I'm selfish sometimes. I'm selfish. Because I want the here and now. I don't want what God wants. Can you relate with me there? You understand? I know. It's like I said, I mentioned it again because it's a fight. It's a fight every day. And so we've been given such an amazing gift, but we found ways to ignore it. We found ways to ignore what God wants us to do, the jobs that He's left us here to do. One of the things we were talking in our small group is that if Jesus left us here for a reason, man, we miss that a lot of times. Jesus left us here for a reason. And it's not just to come to church. But He left us here. The two things we can't do in heaven, one's awesome, we can't sin no more, we don't have to worry about that, it'd be gone, it's over. Second thing is we can't tell them about Christ. We can't tell people about Christ once we're there. And we've been left here to do that as believers. As believers. And so Peter made a choice. He saw the opportunity. I'm sure he was standing there and he looked out over the people. And he was like, I could just see those same thoughts coming back. The same thoughts coming back of when they say, "Are you a disciple?" I'm sure those thoughts followed in his head, but he took the initiative, he took the advantage in the leading, and put others first. I love what Henry Blackaby says. Experiencing God, great book if you hadn't ever read it. He says, "Will God ever ask you to do something you're not able to do?" The answer is yes. And actually all the time. It must be that way for God's glory and kingdom. If we function according to our ability alone, we get the glory. But if we have functioned according to the power of the Holy Spirit within us, God gets the glory. He wants to reveal Himself to the watching world. Man, are we faithful to listen to the Holy Spirit's leading? Are we faithful to listen to the spurning of the Holy Spirit when he's yelling to say, "Hey, share the gospel with this person"? When He says, "Stay away from this, this is going to ruin your life." Are we faithful to do that? Because guys, the last thing is that God is faithful to amaze when we do that. Man, He's faithful to amaze. Man, Peter was obedient. And something amazing took place. Something amazing took place because Peter put himself aside. He stood up. And he did and spoke the truth to the people. And Acts 2:41 says that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. 3,000 people. Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Could you imagine that if we go out this week and listen to the Holy Spirit, be faithful to share and do what God left us, and we bring 3,000 people into this room next week? Granted, it'd be a little tight. Might be a little hot, a little uncomfortable, a lot of people. But imagine how awesome that would be. Imagine how awesome that would be. I mean, even today, there's probably 400, 500 people in here. If we brought one person back next week, even just to hear the gospel proclaimed, we'd still be at 1,000 people. And watch God working in people's lives. Man, today I want to pose some questions. And that is, imagine if we were faithful. Imagine if we were willing to sacrifice self, sacrifice what we desire. Imagine if we were willing to give it all up for the cause of Christ. Imagine what God could do with that. Because we could be one in a multitude, a family, that God is using to impact for His glory this world. And imagine if we put fear aside. This morning the students were challenged to share the gospel in their schools and their community. Share this gift that we've been given and to get rid of the fear that holds us back from doing it, because we worry about what other people are going to think. And our DNL speaker, Darren, he pointed out that, yeah, they may make fun of us, but you know they're going to respect us. They're going to respect because they're going to see the gospel. They're going to see that there's something different in our lives. And what would happen if we let God do what only He could do in our lives? What would happen? When was the last time that you saw God do something amazing in your life? When was the last time that we saw something, God do something amazing at Summit Baptist Church, that we were blown away? See, I don't think God sits up there and He looks down and He's like, "Yeah, I'm just gonna kind of withhold this, you know. They just don't deserve this. They don't do that. Whatever excuse we want to make up." Because I believe that God wants to use each of us, each and every day, to make an impact for the kingdom. Now, I want to leave you with some encouragement. God wants to use you. You are plan A. There is no plan B. We are plan A. And this week, when we surrender to Christ, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, when we allow God to do some amazing things, this is the greatest part of all. And I try to instill this in our students, that it's so much better than what the junk Satan offers. It's so much better. It doesn't mean that our life's going to be perfect and pretty all the time. But it does mean that God is going to be with us and He's going to guide us and He knows the best. I use this illustration, an old psalm, of the Word of God. We've got basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible, if you remember that song. Guys, today I encourage you, let God use you to be one light. We're one family. We're a family of believers. And we have a purpose that we're all united under. And so, man, this morning, you may be here, and you're like, what is all this Jesus stuff? What you may not even know what I'm talking about, but something's happening in your life right now, and you're hearing the name of Jesus, you're hearing the Scripture, because God's Word says that the Scripture will not return void. And you're starting to realize something, that there's an emptiness inside of your heart. There's something missing. And God, the Holy Spirit is yelling at you that you need a relationship with God. And you don't have that. This morning, as we have our response time, I challenge you, do business with God. I'm going to be down here in the front in just a minute. And if God's dealing with you, just come talk to me. I'd be glad to share you how you can start your relationship today. But secondly, man, maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit, man, is showing you some things in your life that are taking precedence over God. Man, the Holy Spirit is bringing people to your mind that you have encounters with, that you know that you're there to share the gospel with. And today I ask you, ask God for the strength to be faithful. Ask God for the strength to share. Guess what? He'll give it to you. And He'll give it to you. I've told our students, y'all can ignore this part. I've told you numerous times, but I can remember on the flip side, I was out at the golf course one day, and a buddy of mine that worked with me, we were working out on the fourth hole at Bradshaw Farm, and I can't even remember what we're doing, but there we just had the opportunity to start talking, and I didn't have all the answers, but I was able to share the gospel. It's probably the worst gospel presentation that you could ever do, and guess what? He accepted Christ right then and there on the golf course, and I'm like, holy cow. Because it shows it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking through me, that was speaking truth. And just being faithful to do that, I was blown away that I was able to just share my story horribly, and yet God still used it in being faithful. So, as a second thing, if God's showing you those people, ask for the strength. And then thirdly, maybe you're here this morning and you're not being faithful in your Christian walk. Because see, it kind of works hand in hand. Because if you're not following Christ, if people don't see that there's a difference in you, they're not going to listen. They don't want to see another person that is a church member. They want to see somebody has a relationship, has something different, that has the hope. And maybe you're walking a guilty distance from Him. Maybe your life isn't what God wants it to be. You're letting self win. You're letting Satan win. There's good news. Just like Peter, again, he turned. He let God use him. And you're not, you can ask for forgiveness of those sins. You can get that behind you. Repent, turn from them, get them out of your life. And God has a plan to use you. To use you to be the one, a one to influence people. And so tonight, as we enter our response time, as the musicians come up, I want to ask you guys, do we want to get serious about God? Some of you guys are already there. But I know I have some areas to work on in my life. And do we want to get serious so that one day we can see God do some amazing things through each of us and then give Him the glory for it? It's an amazing life. But this morning, as Jimmy comes, Man, if you don't have a relationship with Him, I challenge you. Come talk to me this morning. I'll be glad to share it. If you don't like me, go talk to Pastor Lee. There's Pastor Jimmy. Jimmy would even come down and talk to you. But secondly, too, if God's placing a person on your heart, I just want to challenge you to do something. Man, we did this with our students. If God's putting a person in your head right now that you know you're there to share the gospel with them, will you pray and ask God to give you the strength to do that? Maybe even come to the altar and ask God, or even make your seat an altar. Turn around and make your seat an altar. Or today, the last part, again, number three. And maybe you're living away from Christ. Man, I tell you, the life stinks. I've been there. It stinks. It's horrible. You feel empty. And you try to fill it with other things besides God. And God has something so much better. But whatever God is doing this morning, listen. Be faithful so that we can watch Him do something amazing in our lives.